If the heart is the place where love comes from, then where does love go when it dies?
When Elvis Presley got into something, they say, he really got into it. And of all things, this record by Charles Boyer, the French actor who became a Hollywood screen idol, is one of the things he got into. At one point, says Peter Guralnik in his book about Presley, he kept listening to that damn Charles Boyer album, Where Does Love Go?, over and over, listening intently to those melancholy recitations.
When I think of you, I think about a night when the earth smelled of summer and the sky was streaked with white.
It's interesting because somehow Boyer, the Frenchman, connected with American popular culture in an almost unparalleled way. Presley's fixation was just one example. There were also the decades of Boyer's unlikely stardom in American movies. Charles Boyer was trained as an actor in Paris in the early 20s. He tried to break into silent films after a few years, but it wasn't until talkies came in that he was able to make his mark.
And of course, it was the beauty of his voice, the mellifluous voice, and obviously his ability to master language.
Jeanine Basinger, author and a professor of film at Wesleyan, devoted a long chapter to Boyer in her book, The Star Machine.
He spoke English very clearly, although with always just the right French accent, which he cleverly never lost over the years.
My name is Boris. Boris Androvsky.
You're Russian?
My mother was French. My father was Russian.
He played opposite Marlene Dietrich in The Garden of Allah, in which his mysterious character leaves life in a monastery to find himself. Instead, he finds Dietrich.
Forgive me, I have no right. But I can't go until I say it. I love you.
And together they roam through the hot sands of North Africa, she in exotic and perfectly coordinated desert wear.
I love you.
The next year, 1937, was even better. He played Napoleon in Conquest, opposite Greta Garbo, swathed in furs.
Then he says, are you real or born of a snowdrift?
Are you real or born of a snowdrift?
There's a role you don't want to tackle.
Whichever your majesty wishes.
Snow vanishes. I prefer your real.
But he plays it beautifully.
That same year, a lighter Boyer starred opposite Jean Arthur in History is Made at Night.
Where do you come from in that big, beautiful America?
Kansas.
You are the first Kansas I've ever met.
What was the appeal to Americans of this not very tall, slightly balding, not exceptionally slim Frenchman?
French sex was what interested America.
Jacqueline Chambord is an actress who was for a time artistic director of the French Institute in New York. She played a brief scene with Boyer in the film The Earrings of Madame Deux in the 1950s.
Well, if you look at the film, don't blink at the... at the time, because you might not see me.
And she had her own experience being French in the U.S., having been hired as a model to promote the Billy Wilder film Love in the Afternoon.
Because who knows best about Love in the Afternoon than a French girl? It was in summer around a pool with my legs up and a big straw hat, and I was a French cutie.
From French cuties to soulful lovers, there were certain ways to be French in American films, and Charles Boyer found his way.
I've waited for you so long.
I've waited. We've only known each other 2 weeks.
I've waited all my life till now. I can wait a little longer.
But he varied it, too. By the 40s, Boyer was ready to twist his romantic persona, and twist it he did, into his most successful role, Gaslight, opposite Ingrid Bergman, in which a gold-digging suitor cruelly manipulates a beautiful woman.
I hope you're not starting to imagine things again. You're not, are you, Paula?
It is the fact that he is Charles Boyer. He is charming. And then he turns out to be evil. That makes it work. And so he found range for himself within his type.
The funny thing is, talking about type, Boyer founded a society to educate Americans about the French people beyond stereotypes, which in some cases he himself had helped to create.
Do you know what you are to me? Paris. That's you.
After all, it was his character in Algiers, 1938, the dark, trapped Pepe Le Moko, desperate to sail away with Hedy Lamarr.
Can't you ever get away from the Casbah?
Why do you ask? It was that character that inspired the Looney Tunes character, Pepe Le Pew.
Come with me to the Casbah a very long time ago. I had just set up bachelor's quarters at number 15.
You can't get much more American than Looney Tunes. And although Boyer never did actually say, come with me to the Casbah, in that or any film, everyone somehow thought he had.
Comedians picked it up, imitators picked it up.
The Casbah was everywhere.
Same Casbah.
Hollywood fights back.
With all his Frenchness, Boyer so embraced his American citizenship that he joined his colleagues Humphrey Bogart, Judy Garland, and Lauren Bacall in speaking for the Committee for the First Amendment.
This is Charles Boyer.
Taping an immediate response to the early blacklisting that was to plague Hollywood in the late 40s into the 50s and beyond.
The fight for our rights as American citizens.
Using that seductive voice to send his message.
All of us here today and dozens more.
And he worked in movies well into the 70s, aging gracefully, extending his brand, as it were, into more tasteful territory. America believed he was a great lover right to the end. Oh, yes, the end. That is another mystery about Charles Boyer. He married British actress Pat Patterson in the 30s, and they were a devoted couple until she fell gravely ill in 1978. When she died, her hand in his on her deathbed, Boyer spent 2 days putting all his affairs in order. Then, quietly and without fanfare, he took his own life by swallowing a bottle of pills. So devoted had he been to their life together.
It's like a great romantic movie, isn't it? So you see, he really was an authentic lover. He delivered in private life the way he delivered on screen.
Charles Boyer was the Frenchest American ever, or so it seemed. He managed to play a stereotype, vary the stereotype, fight against the stereotype, and live up to the stereotype all at once. And Americans loved every minute of it. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.